Matt Puvala Show on Radio 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for staying up even later with us. Good morning, Laura Vaughn. Thank you for being here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Are you going to, do I need to send up some caffeine or anything? Are you used to these crazy hours?
No, but I think I brought lots of caffeine, so I'll be good.
That's good. That's good. You'll need it. I'll come up and like scare you at 4 a.m.
Ooh, perfect.
Just like give you a blah. Oh, I see. Now, my old producer, Kevin Richter, is here in studio with us. Kevin Richter and Michael Heidemann, who are the co-hosts of Sound Sessions here on WGNplus.com. And Kevin is also the famous producer of The Bill and Wendy Show, who got his start. How did you get your start again, Kev? Where did you, your claim
to,
you know, working your way up the ladder? Do we remember how we got there?
What I remember is both these individuals in this room scaring the crap out of me one day and
that's
being
right,
caught
Michael
on
was
video.
The guy.
Yes,
I forgot that.
Michael was the clown.
That is how I got my start here at the station, in fact.
That's right. You were interning for Pete McMurray at the time, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And Michael was really good. I was just, dude, if you ever want to do anything crazy like that again, I'm up for it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Do I still owe you money from that? I do, don't I?
No, you don't. Okay. Not at all. But I am waiting for the next crazy thing because I'm totally in. So maybe after the show, we could talk about how we're going to get Kevin.
I feel like I shouldn't talk too much about it because Shantae's right in the other room, and it should be a producer tradition.
Rite of passage.
That some producer tormented here. So this was 2 years ago now, Kev?
No, longer than that. Because
really?
I've been almost 2 years with Bill and Wendy now.
God, so like 2.5, 3 years ago, we were doing the show, and for some reason, I guess we did an interview with somebody that toured Haunted Chicago or something like that?
Yeah, we got on the topic of ghosts somehow.
There was a girl that called in about her high school.
Yes,
that was
that's
haunted,
what it was, yeah.
And you were like, I'd love to go there or something. So we talked about, well, we should do ghost hunting here in the Tribune Tower. Because
right.
I think maybe Amy Guth had at the time recently talked about a possible haunting thing on the 7th floor or the 4th floor or something like that. So we said, all right, let's do it live on the show and Kev will go up and do it. And I allegedly did some research into the building, and I talked to an archivist who had given me this whole story.
This backstory you came up with like, I mean, I have to give you credit. It was just so detailed and so incredible.
Phenomenal work.
So I wrote this story that I pretended that I had gotten out of the microfiche of the Tribune about this clown when WGN TV used to be in the building, this clown who had a kid's show who committed suicide in the building in a bathroom that's now on the 7th floor where WGN Radio is. And how women talk about they feel a chill in the air in the bathroom and this and that. So we're going to send Kevin up there at 2 in the morning live on the radio with cameras. And Michael Heider was hiding dressed up as a clown.
Michael, I don't know if I ever asked you, how long were you in the women's bathroom?
You know, I'm dedicated to my craft. So I was there for
since 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah, at least a solid hour, I'd say.
Wendy punched him once.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, he got chased and arrested. But then he got back there.
Worth it.
Was it about an hour you were in there?
It was the squats that really hurt because I was like trying to make sure that my feet weren't showing because I really wanted to make it good.
I mean, full disclosure, I was too afraid to even go around the corner and check.
It's great because it's the weirdest bathroom that we have up on the 7th floor for women. You walk in, it's a straight line. There's like 3 stalls and 3 sinks. But then when you get to the end, there's a tiny little walkway, not even a normal size walkway, like a really thin walkway that goes around the corner. And then there's like 3 more stalls, totally hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked to Kevin about how if people stare into the mirror for long enough, this ghost appears.
It sounds ridiculous.
It does sound ridiculous. But the story was very, it's great watching the video, which you can still find at WGNradio.com, of Kevin, listening to me tell the story. We had to shorten it up for the video because it was, a really long story. But you're like, oh, wow, that's great. That's terrible. And then suddenly Kevin goes up and he's in the mirror and we have him on the phone live on the radio. And he's waiting, and nothing's happening. And I didn't give Michael a clear enough signal of, here's when you should come out. So you're trying. Mm-hmm. You can only hear Kevin making a noise once in a while, and you're trying to debate, okay, when do I go, when do I not go? And I think Michael's about to go, and my phone starts cutting out.
Yeah, that's what freaked me out.
Actually, really did freak you out.
You said, if you're staring in the mirror for 2.5 minutes or something like that, and at, 2 minutes, my phone starts breaking up, and that's when I'm like, all right, I'm out of here. No way.
And that's when Michael comes running out. And so Kevin moves the camera, unfortunately, but you hear Michael do, rawr or something. Kevin goes, rawr!
Yeah, the infamous scream. I still get a hard time for that.
That was a good
story. That was my first month here too. So that's how I got introduced to oh, this seems a fun place to work.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
Oh, good times. So Kevin soon after quit my show and moved on to Dean and then to Bill and Wendy. But we miss you terribly. It's great to have you here. And Michael, it's good to see you again as well. And you guys host Sound Sessions on WGNplus.com.
Yeah.
Tell me what Sound Sessions is all about.
Sound Sessions, it's our kind of all things music podcast. We're tackling festivals. We're tackling artist interviews. We're doing giveaways, gear talk, yada, yada, yada. I mean, Exactly. Anything music, we're just all about it.
A lot of intimate conversations. And, you know, it's not like the typical conversation you'll have with a musician where it's just like a few minutes with them. We sit down and you have like good like 20, 30-minute conversations with some of your favorite artists.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty solid.
Yeah. And a lot of I've seen a lot of your posts on Facebook. A lot of musicians come through Chicago that you guys bring in studio. It's not just you grabbing a phone over somebody.
No.
You're talking to – and a lot of local musicians too.
Yeah, we try to get into the local music scene as well. You know, we're lucky enough to – Chicago's a very active music city, so we're able to get them in the studio sometimes and get some intimate acoustic performances, which, you know, I have to like really contain my inner fanboy at times because it's just like I'm like screaming on the inside of these performances we're getting.
And Kevin, you're also in a band.
Yeah.
What's your band now?
Fade.
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 It's and two A's.
Two A's. Don't ask why, because I don't know why.
That sounded so funny. With two A's. With an umlaut.
Yeah.
So Fade, and it's you're always in, what do we call it? Not
instrumental.
Instrumental.
Yeah,
Thank you.
This group in particular is instrumental as well.
Instrumental.
It's just kind of my thing at this point.
Yeah.
So
Is there a whole instrumental scene? I think that's surprising to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, in Chicago, it's a very well-represented scene.
Really?
Some of the bigger acts in the instrumental scene are from Chicago, like a Russian Circles or a Pelican.
See, it's funny. I would think of instrumental as just sort of like that's going to be a jazz club. That's a jazzy thing.
Sure.
But that's not what you're playing.
No, I mean, I think, you know, it's more of a niche market, but it's, it runs the gamut of as far as genres go.
Now, so when you're in a club and you're playing instrumental music, are people talking more? Because it seems like to me, oh, this would be a good place to go with some friends because then we can still sort of chat as we're drinking and stuff and enjoying the music.
It depends. I mean, we're still loud, so so there's that. But, I mean, like, you know, when we
come... I thought there'd be less noise because they're not singing! This is loud!
Yeah, and you get that as well, too. Like, why don't you guys have any vocals? It's just, it's a conscious effort, you know.
Sing a lyric!
Well, it's conscious because I'm not a good singer. I don't know if anyone else in the band is, but, yeah, you know, we have fun.
How many pieces is the band?
Four of us.
Four of you.
Yeah.
And that one person can just grab a microphone and start.
It's not really like we're not. There's no desire.
Are there
for
microphones
it.
For you to talk on stage so you can talk between songs at all to the crowd?
Yeah, but we've only played one official show in this band so far, and we didn't use any mics actually for vocals. We actually, this is a little secret, little insider secret. Mm-hmm. Wendy Snyder voiced our introduction for us, and we kind of affected it and twisted it around, and it made it sound real.
You had a pre-taped introduction.
Yeah. So it said, you know, we are Fade, yada, yada, yada. Thanks for coming out.
And, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
And is Fade playing anywhere else sometime soon?
I believe August 6th at Elbow Room, and more to be determined.
And is there a website for Fade?
Not really at the moment. No, we're on Facebook. We're on Facebook.
Okay.
We're pretty low-key. I'm viewing it, you know, some guys like to work on a car in the garage. This is my car in the garage.
So you're getting to it when you can a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I'm working with two teachers, another guy, he's like a manager at a retail store. So we're all super busy. It's just a nice little release every week.
You gotta have that. That's good. And, you know, we used to talk a lot on the air when you were on the show. This is years ago about your girlfriend who is now your fiance.
Yep.
And there's a wedding coming up.
Yes, sir.
When is the wedding coming up?
September 23rd.
September 25th. I haven't gotten to save the date. And it's funny because Colleen and I, at the age we're at now, we never get to go to weddings. Because all our friends are old.
Well, listen,
and then
this
kids.
Is the time of the year.
And, you know, Mike, Steven, and Jenny Eck here. They met here. And I was good friends with both of them. No invitation to their wedding either. And so I'm wondering if I'm going to have another September go by without a wedding to go to. Seems that's where we're headed.
Listen, we have
Michael,
a lot.
I bet you're invited.
It's a small wedding.
Michael, are you going to? Oh, you're not invited either yet.
I'm still waiting for my saves the date. I need a magnet to put on my refrigerator for this.
What a dick.
Come on.
Honestly.
Come on.
Honestly. You know what? I don't have a girlfriend or anything, but once I do, Kevin, you're invited. And so are you, Matt.
Do you remember like when you were looking to get Bill and Wendy's show and I'm helping you and I'm like talking to you about how to approach things and like helping you out and giving you advice and all that stuff? Yeah. I remember those times. But that's not.
Listen. All right.
That's
guilt trip.
Yeah.
I'm not ruling things out yet, but we got to get through the family first. Well, you're like a B-lister maybe.
Wow. Whoa.
I'm going to stop talking about it.
Let me just say that's not how you tell somebody they're not invited. You're a B-lister.
It's a small wedding.
Well, it's really small and we've got so much family. I really want
that's
you there.
Exactly
I just
it.
Don't have, but you didn't say that. You said you're a B-lister.
Maybe.
It sounded like
I said maybe.
God. Michael, we'll go out drinking that day.
Exactly. And I think B stands for best.
You know,
so don't worry.
Let's start hitting on Sarah. Just to drive him insane.
You owe her a cat thing anyway, so.
That's fine. She was on the show, talked about how you two met. It's quite a story.
Yeah, and you know what? I've been trying to dig that. Well, this is like a secret. I want to play that audio day of, but I don't know how to find that audio anymore.
You know, if I was coming to the wedding, I'd help you with that, but since I'm not.
That was a lewd gesture.
That was a lewd gesture. I'll do it again. I don't care. It's ridiculous. Why do people not invite people to weddings anymore? I want to go to a wedding. Somebody in the listening audience, if you're getting married in the next year, Colleen and I would be happy to come to your wedding. We'd like to dance a little. We'll toast you. We'll buy a really awesome gift.
I would love
that's the thing is like, we would get you an awesome gift.
The gift alone.
Well, money would be great. If
you are the worst groom in the world. You're a B-lister. Oh, money would be great. Maybe I could work something out though.
Hey, it's a small wedding. God, they're expensive.
How small is it?
150.
150 people. That's a lot of people.
That's not a lot of people.
How is that not a lot?
It's a struggle. You would be surprised because it becomes more than just family. It's, you got to have this family friend, yada, yada. I don't want to be meeting people.
Who from WGN is invited?
I don't want to talk about it.
Who from WGN is invited?
I don't want to talk about it.
Bill and Wendy?
That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
That's all.
That's all.
That's the only people at all.
Yes. I swear to you.
See, when I was a full-time producer at WGN, I had like 8 people from the station at my
wedding. I wish I could. How many people was your wedding?
200.
See,
that's not that many more.
But it's still it's 50 more. It's 50.
But I had 8 people from GN at least.
I wish
June was there, the program director. You're not inviting Todd or Jimmy.
I can't.
You can't. Oh, can't means won't.
This is a trap interview, by the way. This is a ambush interview.
We brought you here today. For this reason only.
I mean, come on, Kev.
I would love for you to be there.
No, you wouldn't.
No, I truly would.
If you would love for me to be there, I'd be there.
I just can't at the moment.
I just can't. What does that mean? It means Sarah says, no, I can't invite the people I want to invite? Is that what it is?
No.
What's going on here? You invite the people you want to invite. You worry about the rest later.
Do you know how many friends I'm inviting to my wedding?
How many friends are you inviting
like
to your wedding?
8. That's all I can fit in. I'm not even kidding you. It's ridiculous. That's all I can fit in at the moment.
All right, so out of the 150,
family,
8
family
are friends.
Yes.
And then 142
friends
are family.
Friends and plus, it's crazy. I know, it's crazy. It's been a
struggle. Do you have that big of a family?
I do, and so does she. And then there's family friends and yada, yada, yada. And then they're Turkish, so the Turkish family friends, and it's just, it goes on and on and on, and my family's
Michael
huge.
Michael and I don't fit into family friends?
No.
You wouldn't have your career without the two of us. You'd have nothing. You were about to move to L.A. You'd be in L.A.
I wish.
You would be in L.A.
I still wish I was in L.A. I wasn't about to
move
to L.A.
Wow, and Bill and Wendy are coming to this wedding?
Yes.
Not after we play this for them, so there's 2 openings. Michael and I will be there, because they're going to be annoying.
All right, fine.
Our producer, who's been with us for a couple of years, wishes he was in L.A.
I would love to be on the West Coast one day.
No, you said right now. You can change it to one day, but the tape will play right now.
Right now.
So you wish you weren't with
Summer in Chicago.
You wish you were not with Trumps.
Summer in Chicago Trumps.
This isn't what we brought him in here for.
No, I apologize
to all listeners. Okay, we have to take a break. We're going to do the news. And then the reason you guys are actually here, as fun as this is because there was an interesting lawsuit. Led Zeppelin was sued over the song Stairway to Heaven, over the opening chords of Stairway to Heaven, basically, I believe, if I have this right, by the caretaker of an estate for a band called Spirit over their song Taurus. We'll play both for you after the news. I think it's fascinating because there are similarities, but there are differences. And I think other songs, you know, the George Harrison song, was it My Sweet...
Yeah,
Sweet
with
Lord.
I'm sorry, the name is escaping me. It's like a Motown song.
Totally. That is exact. It's just different lyrics laid over the song, in my mind.
Yeah.
The Tom Petty song that
Smith.
Won, I don't really hear it in that much.
I hear it. It's such a
little piece. Right. So we'll talk about that after the news and play some of that. And I wanted to bring you guys in to talk about it. As guys who make music and listen to music and care about music, I wonder how hard it is to not imitate something in some way. I mean,
it's pretty hard.
We've had music for 100-some years now in the recorded form. It's got to be hard not to have been influenced in some weird way by something. So how similar is something when it's copied and when it's just, it's inspired by or in the form of? We'll talk about that after the news next on 720 WGN. So there's the beginning of Stairway to Heaven that we've all known for millions of years. It's very famous to us all. You two are too young for this, and Chante's clearly too young for this too. But when I hear the beginning of Stairway to Heaven, I actually think of an old, I think it was WXRT commercial from like the 70s, maybe the 80s. And I think it's John Cleese. I think. Maybe it's not. I think he had done some stuff for them. So they're talking about how, I think it was talking about how XRT doesn't play the same song over and over again. And so you hear the beginning chords of this, and then he's holding up a pizza and he's like, to think this was once Stairway to Heaven. Like, it had been played so many times, it looks like pizza. And they play the chords. So the beginning, it was a great commercial about how XRT plays different music than what everybody else is playing. I think it was XRT. I don't think that was the loop. I'm pretty sure it was XRT. But that's what I think of when I hear that song. So it's hard for it to remain a favorite of mine. So that's the famous intro to Stairway to Heaven, written by, and it's funny to me that Robert Plant was part of this trial, because while he wrote the lyrics, he clearly didn't write that part that they're talking about. Right. So I didn't understand why he was even part of this.
I guess the claim is that they had played shows together and yada, yada, yada. Yeah. They were familiar with their catalog.
When Led Zeppelin played their very first show here in the U.S., or was it their very first tour, Taurus was opening for them.
I think it was the other way around, even, I had heard.
Zeppelin was opening for
like
Taurus?
A long time ago. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I had heard,
I thought I heard it the other way around. We'll have to look into that. But either way, they were on the same bill together at some point. They could have run into each other's music. Certainly led to, and is this a famous, this song Taurus, is this famous at all? Would they have heard it on the radio? Would it have been in the public consciousness, or only if they really knew Taurus's work?
It's an instrumental track. I don't believe Spirit or Spirit is an instrumental band. They claim to be familiar with other songs in their catalog, but seem to have Jimmy Page claims that he heard Taurus for the first time 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
So. And that was one of the contentions in the trial, was he's like, well, my son-in-law, I think he said, played this for me because I don't do the internet at all, and so he played it for me. I'd never even heard them. And then they're like, well, they were on the same bill as you guys. You played with them before. And he said, really? I thought that was some other band. Which clearly you can imagine Page back in those days having no clue who was on any play. He's like, dude, I'm lucky I'm even here. Remember that.
Exactly. And it's funny because, you know, he did actually have the album, which when they cross-examined him, but he has 4,000 other albums that he was listening to. And he actually said, you know, he was quoted saying that, you know, don't remember them now. Don't remember them then. Don't remember them ever. And so, I mean, it's one of those bands that, you know, could come in and out of consciousness.
It is interesting that he has their album, though. I mean, was he being pretty defiant on the stand? Was he like, sort of like, how dare you think that I stole this? I mean, that quote that you just gave, Michael, makes it sound like he was being pretty flippant about Spirit and their place in history, and how could you think I stole this from them?
Exactly. And think about the fact that it is one of the best known songs of all time. It made them countless amounts of money. I mean, there was the Condé Nast portfolio, which is what kind of gives a description of how much a song makes, estimated it at more than $562 million in publishing rights.
That song, not the Led Zeppelin catalog, song.
In royalties and record sales since it released.
And the interesting thing is, this lawsuit was not about going back to, and when did the song come out? 71, 72, somewhere in there, right?
Yeah, I'd say that.
Very early 70s. The lawsuit was only going to cover royalties for like the last 5 years or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't understand, if you say they copyright it, how does it not go back in perpetuity?
I'm not sure if that falls into like some sort of like statute of limitations type thing. I don't know the exact legalities of it all, but yeah.
I mean, I guess you can't say somebody owe me something forever. Maybe it's part of that. All right. So, Shantae, the band was Spirit. The song is called Taurus. Mm-hmm. This is the piece that they claim Stairway ripped off. Far into the song it is, the exact portion.
I think it's coming up.
I'm grooving on this Yaz flute that we're hearing.
So far, it doesn't sound really similar. So far.
I agree. Very dramatic.
Go ahead and I'm going to pat you down, Shantae. Go ahead and rewind it to where that guitar just kicked in and save it there. And if you would re-cue up also Stairway to Heaven, so we can play just the pieces sort of side by side. Now, yesterday when I was showing you on Facebook, our old PD Mary June Rose had posted this guitar guy who played just the guitar of both of them.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? To me, that doesn't sound that similar. Yeah. Now that I hear it there, it sounds a lot more similar to me than I thought it was going to.
Right.
There's definitely differences within the songs. There's a lot more layers to the Zeppelin song, and mm-hmm. I know there's changes in there, but there's this descending bass line was the term we heard.
Yeah, right? It's a very, I mean, if it's not exact, it's a very similar chord progression. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. What would your take have been if you had heard, let's real quick, let's go ahead and play these. Shantae, could you go ahead and do Stairway to Heaven? Okay, I'm going to fade you down. Go ahead and cue back up Taurus by Spirit. And when you're ready, go ahead and hit that. So they don't do the dun-dun-dun
right.
at the end of it.
Right.
But there's like 5 or 7 seconds. It's very similar. Yeah. It's not exact, though, correct?
No, I mean, Jimmy Page is throwing in some embellishing notes as he does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not an exact... I mean, even the picking pattern is a little different, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so when you guys hear that, what is your first thought?
To be honest, if I was in my car and I was listening to a radio station playing that, I'd be like, oh, this is Stairway to Heaven. If it was, and then I'd be like, oh, shoot, no, this is Taurus, that other great band.
See, I don't know that I would go that far, personally. I would say, okay, yeah, this sounds like Stairway yeah. a little bit, but it's definitely got its differences. Maybe it's just because I've heard the song so many times that
Man.
I know it like the back of my hand.
No yeah. Stairway, denied.
What? Is that a Wayne's World quote?
Yeah,
is that
yes, yeah.
I had to bust it in.
All right, so Kevin, as somebody who writes music,
yeah.
how difficult is it when you write a song to not go, oh, God, that actually sounds like something else, and you didn't even realize it?
So in the Western scale, which all music that we know basically is written in, such as these two songs that we're listening to, there's only 12 notes. That's A through G sharp. There's only 12 notes.
Okay.
So with that said, obviously there's going to be some overlap there. For example, I wrote a song and I wrote a bass part I was really excited about and I thought it was totally original. Come to find out after having written it and recorded it and played it live for people, somebody said, hey, one day somebody said to me, hey, that sounds like the Chain bass line by Fleetwood Mac, which was written I don't even know how many years ago.
Yeah.
And it's almost...
Before you were born.
Yeah, exactly. And it was almost note for note without me even ever hearing that song before.
Are you sure you had never heard it?
I had never heard it, I promise you. And sure enough. But my point being, it's very easy.
You had really never heard it?
I had really never heard it. Now I love
the
song.
Are you sure you didn't hear it and like maybe you just didn't realize you had heard it?
I mean, I'm about
99. I mean, because it seems
it's a very popular song,
that
right.
even if there's only 12 notes, there's still a million variations.
Sure,
right?
Certainly. And then when you build those 12 notes into a chord, yeah, there's all these other different variations and ways you can make it more complex and different from other chords. But point being, yeah, I think it's very easy to... I mean, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
In theory, everything has already been written in one way
in
or another.
In some way, shape, right. or form.
And right. there's also a formula in Western music. I believe it's called the 1-4-5, where it's just a chord progression. Like, what's the song? 8-6-7-5-3-0-9-9.
Mm-hmm.
That's a prime example of the guitar riff. It's a 1-4-5, and it's used in... You can look up videos of it, 1-4-5 in music, and there's hundreds, if not thousands, of songs that use that.
Really?
It's just what sounds good in our scale.
So Led Zeppelin ended up winning the lawsuit.
Right.
I didn't read enough on the verdict. What was said about why they won the lawsuit?
I think it was they couldn't find enough evidence that Led Zeppelin had actually heard the song. And maybe Michael, I'm not sure if you have the exact text on it, but yeah, that he hadn't actually heard the song. They couldn't provide enough proof for it. Mm-hmm. So
it's not enough that it sounds similar. They want some proof that you did
right.
intend to do that.
Exactly.
Is that where the leeway is, that we know there's going to be similarities? We want to know. Like in the Tom Petty song, who was it that...
Sam Smith.
Sam Smith gets... Tom Petty now has a songwriting credit on that mm-hmm. song and has received money for it.
Yeah.
Tom Petty was really cool about it, saying these things happen. It's not a big deal.
Right.
But did they prove that there was – and
Marvin Gaye,
Alan Thicke, and those – Robin Thicke.
Yeah.
Not Alan Thicke. That would have been
See, that one – that's a point I was going to bring up is there are so many more, way more egregious examples of just blatant plagiarism. You know, in that Robin Thicke one, that's spot on.
And that's – you know what? And that to me seemed more like sampling.
Right.
Because sampling is a big thing, especially in a lot of rap songs, where they're taking pieces of songs
yeah.
and using it. So I don't know where it's plagiarism, where it's, well, we sampled that song. And then when you sample, you do have to pay for it. You right. have to give a credit. They didn't in this instance. But they fought back on that vigorously. They didn't say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Right, I mean, in all of these, they're fighting back on
it. Yeah, but they end up losing.
Yeah.
It's just – it's a really slippery slope. I mean, it's going to happen, but – I mean, there's another prime example, too. I'm not sure if a lot of people are even aware of this one. Viva La Vida by Coldplay.
Okay. Yeah.
They got sued by Joe Satriani. And if you look it up on YouTube or whatever, it's note for note.
Really?
Note for note.
And so they lost that one and they lost that one. Paid up for that one. Yep. That's interesting. All right. So you guys were mentioning off the air that this part that I hadn't seen about it, seen a little headline. So 400 years ago.
Yeah.
And what's the name of the composer?
It was an Italian composer by the name of Giovanni Battista Granata.
So we have no recordings of this. Right. As it was written at the
time.
You
have the sheet music.
But you have the sheet music. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it written for the piano at the time, then?
Well, judging by the name, it's Sonata di Chitarra e Violino con il suo bus. I'm not even going to try anymore. But it sounds like there was violin. And they had guitars and lutes back then and things like that. So I think it was intended for those.
Okay, so here's a piece of that, which if you're going to say something sounds like Stairway to Heaven, listen to this. I mean, that part, let's go back here. Let me try that again. It's coming up here in just a few seconds. Beautiful little Spanish-sounding song. And then it kicks right into almost note for note right about here. Other than the dun-dun-dun
right.
at the end.
It gets a little different there, but
that's really...
That's Stairway.
But now that wasn't introduced into this court case at all, right?
I don't think this particular one was, but there was another one, a song that was like a Irish folky song that was written in the 60s that was introduced, but it wasn't as blatant as this one.
Yeah.
Do you think that if they would have put that song out as like an electric guitar instead of the acoustic guitar, there would be so many intense examples? Because I feel like the production level has a lot to do with the fact that everyone's saying that the song kind of sounds alike, to be honest. I mean, the way that they kind of crafted that song, to be honest, that Gustav's great hit that I love so much, it didn't sound as strong as an example as the Taurus song, to be
Wait,
honest.
Wait, what
really?
We just played?
You think
what
so?
We just played?
To be honest,
See,
I feel
that
like,
was
wow.
the song.
That was it, in my mind.
Oh, my
But I do get what he's saying because Taurus builds up with the synthesizers and all that.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
In Stairway, it's not in the intro itself. There's no synthesizer, but later in the track, you know, it builds in the synths and the strings and yada yada yada. So mm-hmm. I can kind of see where you're coming from, but I'm with you on this one.
This sounds what we just played from the 17th century sounds like you could start singing at the end of that
right,
song.
Right.
And you know, Robert Plant always said that he was a huge fan of that guy's work too. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. He's got a tattoo of him actually.
I don't know when you two are lying sometimes. A texter points out something very interesting. That's true. 773 writes, the jury didn't even get to hear Spirit's version. They only got to see the music sheet. And that is true. They didn't allow them in the – they played Stairway to Heaven fully through. They never played the song for the jury because the lawsuit was about – I forget what it was. It was something about – it wasn't about the recorded version wasn't copyrighted right, but the sheet music was. So they – could only present to the jury
That's
and talk them through that. And you could see where that would be very difficult to hear it in your head unless you're a true musician. Like,
right.
I would have never been able to make sense of it.
Certainly.
Unless I got to hear it.
Right. And there's a lot of things that come into factor there, too. By just looking at sheet music, you're not seeing necessarily what the tempo is or things like that.
And I don't know. I can't imagine the jury was sequestered, but I would have gone home at night and for sure looked up the song and listened to it. So I don't know that they all didn't listen to it at some point. It'd be hard not to, but... But man, that other song to me, Michael. Oh my gosh, that's the exact song.
It's spot on.
But it's interesting because so we're talking about 8 seconds of a 7-minute song,
mm-hmm.
and the song is extremely different. As Michael said, these great hits that all have these different levels and change completely what type of song they are. So what is plagiarism in that term? Is it this? Because it's not like it's a repeating thing throughout the song, like Vanilla Ice with Ice Ice Baby.
Right.
He steals that from Queen.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then it gets sued and they have to pay for it. This is like a few seconds of a song. So what point is it like, oh, yeah, that sounds like it, but that's not that song.
I think we still don't have an answer for that even when it comes to hip hop and, you know, samples and music. They say you can use up to like 10 seconds. But then if you're repurposing it in a certain way, I mean, the rules and the laws on it are very unclear, honestly. Yeah. So certain individuals are taking advantage, and, you know, it's tricky.
Mark's been kind enough to hang on the phone for quite a while here. Mark, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, I have a bunch of points to run by you real quickly, okay. And I'm gonna save the musical selections for last in case your producer needs to cue them up or whether she found them or not. But and I want to say I hope Laura Vaughn gets a permanent gig. She is sounding great.
Oh, I'll pass that along.
This is Mark Lindsay. Hi, Laura. Any composition professor on the college level will tell you that it is virtually impossible not to duplicate previous musical patterns in some way. And composition majors are told this. Jimmy Webb, my second point, Jimmy Webb wrote a book about songwriting. He wrote songs that people like The Fifth Dimension and Glenn Campbell did, and he said that in today's music industry, songwriters have to be really careful that they don't plagiarize, because they might do it even if their unconscious has never heard a song before. And then my third thing is that, the two selections you played are both in the key of A minor, which is real interesting. There are two others that I want to point out that are not only in the key of A minor, but sound incredibly alike. One of them is Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You by Led Zeppelin, and the other is 25 or 6 to 4 by Chicago. If you play those side by side, you would wonder why Led Zeppelin didn't sue Chicago the moment that song came out.
Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You.
I can hear 25 or 6
to 4. Yes, Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, because 25 or 6 to 4 goes da 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 da, and the Led Zeppelin song slower goes da 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 da.
But what other songs have you heard that in so many times over and over? That same melody.
Green Day does a song that's very similar to that, too.
Hitchin' a Ride.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for the call, Mark. So it is very difficult for musicians these days, too. And it's funny, Kevin, that you were actually already playing it live. And then somebody said something. What if that would have been a hit? What if that would have broken through and you're on the radio?
Right. I'm
Fleetwood
sure
Mac, hammer down on you.
And what he said about A minor, that's an interesting point, too. In my opinion, writing in A minor and E minor or E in A major are very easy keys to write in, because you have the availability of open strings by strumming an open E, and then you can kind of, you know, riff on the neck even more so.
All right, Shantae has one of those songs. Go ahead, Shantae. This is Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You by Led Zeppelin. All right, let's fade that down. Do you have 25 or 6 to 4 also available? All right, Shantae's going to bring that up now. I don't hear it in my head at all. I know that sound. I'm sorry, that's not even close.
I hear it.
Are you serious?
It's different, but I hear what he's saying. But you can't make that argument, though. In my opinion, there's no way that would ever, ever stand up.
I'm just going to go just by the smell test, and that's not even close. That's not even close. Come on. Somebody texted that Led Zeppelin's notorious for their musical thievery.
It's true.
Old blues songs, right? But they remade some blues songs. Yeah. I mean, did they truly steal and make their own songs from it, or did they, you know, do covers of old blues songs?
I don't know. I guess technically it would be a cover, but I'm not sure.
But at least one of the songs off their first album I know is not a Led Zeppelin writing credit, I think. I think it's a Robert Johnson song, right?
That's what I was going to ask, because I'm not sure if they were giving the correct credits, and that's where they would get in trouble.
Not 100% sure of that. Well, this has been fascinating. Guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Sound Sessions, new podcast just about every week at WGNplus.com. Michael, who are you? Where else do we find you around here these days?
So you can find me on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand.
I'm doing that
on a daily basis. Yes.
Isn't he the worst?
Bertrand? Oh, my God. Don't get me started.
He is.
But he will be at Kevin's wedding this summer, I'm sure.
Yes, he will. He's going to be giving him away. And couldn't be happier for that. So stay tuned for that. And you can find me, at Sound Sessions. We're pretty much everywhere. You can find us on Sound Sessions Pod on Twitter, Sound Sessions on Facebook. And, check us out for a lot of great Chicago-based interviews. It's fantastic.
And find them at WGNplus.com and Kevin's Bad Fade with two A's.
Bad? You said bad.
Kevin's
Freudian
band,
slip.
Bad band. Kevin's band, Fade, with two A's, is playing next at the Elbow Room.
Yeah, August 6th, Elbow Room.
August 6th. And find you guys on Facebook as well. Search for Fade with two A's.
Two A's.
On Facebook. Guys, thanks so much for coming.
Matt, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely, guys. Anytime.